Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting on the BBS Network and also on eSETI Stargate. So check out the eSETI Stargate, where you can interact with others and have a great time. A lot going on. We're pretty much finishing up the season. We've got a couple of Sky Watches left. I'm going to be in and out. I've got other conferences. I'll be at the 1111 conference, the Star Knowledge Conference in Colorado, coming up. And so that's going to be interesting. But, you know, a lot going on. We'll be on a UFO cruise as well. So looks like I'll be in and out. I'll be spending some time in Mexico and maybe Hawaii. I'm not sure. We'll see how things work out. But it'll be great. I'll be able to get out of the snow, get off the mountain here and there, and I won't have my butt glued to the John Deere tractor. So that's going to be nice. But anyway, tonight I really wanted to do a little story time. And the reason I want to do this is because there's so much misinformation out there and disinformation, and just it's just off the scale. And in doing this story time and talking about the real history of Earth, this is going to help people to understand the predicament we're in now. And so it's so important to understand why things are unfolding the way they are, what's really happening, the bigger picture. And when you understand this, and we'll go more into that on the grounding level in the next episode. So I really wanted to get into the ancient history of Earth. So what we've been told by our so-called, you know, scientists and theologians and everything else is just bits and pieces, and it's highly inaccurate. It doesn't go back far enough. So the Earth is about 7.5 billion years old. They think it's 4.5. It's about 7.5. All the carbon dating is incorrect because there was a time when the sun didn't even hit the Earth. There was a time where there was a thick cloud cover around the Earth. So a lot of the dating methods aren't accurate, but they do have a lot of things called oops art and, forbidden archaeology, things like that. There's some books on that. And they're finding artifacts going back 600 million years. So they're finding, you know, jewelry, things like that, very advanced metalwork. Even diodes, you know, in rocks and things shows there was some kind of technology. They're finding trilobites that were smashed by boot prints. And so all of these findings are showing us that there were some kind of advanced people here 600 million years ago. It goes back that far. And so we have to really take a good look at this evidence. It's all hidden, you know, in the Smithsonian, but now it's getting out there. So, you know, just type in forbidden archaeology and you'll find all this information I'm talking to. There's all kinds of sites to do your own research. Now we go back 600 million years. So there's not much known about what was happening then. It was just kind of explorers coming back and forth to the Earth. The Earth was kind of a rough place to live in. A lot of methane, a lot of things that eat you, you know, a lot of very large dinosaurs and things like that were still living all the way into the Atlantean times. And so we'll cover that. But anyway, in these times, and when I talk about these stories, I'm going to trigger memories, soul memories, because a lot of you actually lived in those times. Some of you have been here in those times, and you had to deal with these situations. And, you know, I don't want to jump the gun, but I'll tell you a few of my experiences that I have full memory of. But in their days of Atlantis and Lemuria, where there were still dinosaurs, and I got trashed by one of them, so I didn't fare too well. I had leather armor, you might say, but it wasn't much of a match for these guys. Going further into that, I want to go into about 500,000 years ago. So the first recorded things that happened here, it's recorded in stone and Sumerian writings and things like that, were the ancient Lyrians. And they were known as the Anunnaki. And Anunnaki just means those who came from heaven to earth. And a lot of your religions don't want you to know about this. They don't want you to know that this is, pre-Diluvian. It was before the flood. There's actually been two major floods on the planet that we know of. And one of them took out, you know, the ancient Lyrians. So they were the first geneticists. They were the tinkerers. They came here about you know, 450 to 500,000 years ago, they started setting up colonies. And it talks about their time here. And when they came here, you know, there were fishes, there were plants, trees, fruit, everything. There was all kinds of things. Like the earth was already being terraformed. And they don't know who terraformed it. That was way before them. So they didn't even know who was behind the terraforming on the planet. But we'll go more into that later. But anyway, so these guys set up camp, and there were a couple things going on. Their planet, you know, supposedly was revolving on a huge revolution around the sun, you know, and it would come through every so many thousand years. And when it would come through, it was a whole solar system, it, you know, a lot of damage, and it would actually almost wreak havoc on their planet as well. They called it Nibiru. And so there's a lot of stories about that. So they were trying to save their planet, create some shielding, you know, with gold to make its evolution around the sun, and or revolution, I'd say, around the sun. It was more like an evolution. But everything they did, they tried to do to you know, make that process a little more reasonable, wasn't working out too good. So they were coming to Earth, they were mining gold, and they're creating, you know, much like they're doing chemtrails today, but this was a benevolent process. They were putting gold in the upper atmosphere, which is something would be awesome if we did, because we could all use the gold in our systems. So monatomic gold is a good thing versus the garbage that they're putting in our system in our skies right now, you know, which is extremely toxic heavy metals and other things. But another subject. But anyway, they came here, they set up camp, did a lot of experimentation, and supposedly there was a human that was actually developing here naturally. And they found this human and decided to upgrade this human. So they added their genetics to this human, they upgraded him to mine the gold. And this is all, Sitchin's talked about this. There's a lot of other stories about this. Details aren't important. Just the big picture is really important. But to realize that this happened, a lot of experimentation was going on. A lot of half animal, half man, all kinds of things were going on. Humanoid feline beings were here. They've been out throughout the universe. There were several races that were here that were working with these things. And now they're in the Antarctic, they're finding their frozen remains. They're flash frozen, and there's a lot of stories about that. Corey Good and some other people are blowing the whistle off of that. So that's been going on for quite some time. They found the technology that was flash frozen due to a pole shift. Now there's writings about this pole shift. They said when the poles were shifting, the earth started groaning. It started making all kinds of noise, and it was almost unbearable. And they knew it was coming, and they knew it was a grand cycle. And most of them knew they needed to get off the planet. You know, some stayed and tried to ride it out, and most of them got off the planet. And it was pretty much the end of that era, you know, or that colonization program, you know, because the changes were just so severe. On the earth. It took a long time for the earth to recover after that one. And since then, you know, there's been massive meteors impacts. There's been volcanoes going off. There are extinction level events, tsunamis. You know, this is all recorded history. So a lot of civilizations have come and gone. But the second attempt to come in were the Pleiadians. And the Pleiadians are actually the ancient Lyrians are the Pleiadian ancestors. So the peaceful scientists left Lyra after the great wars were going on. They were colonizing a lot of other planets. They're really spreading their seed throughout the galaxy. And so they left, and they were peaceful. They didn't want to deal with the wars, and they set up colonies in the Pleiades, Orion, and the Hades systems. And so from there, they decided to come to Earth, Mars, and Maldek or Melona. Some people call the planet Maldek or Melona, Earth belt. And this is a perfect succession of things, of planets, how they're formed, which is, I'll go into that as well. The way planets are formed, they're birthed from the sun. And they start out as a hot gaseous ball. And as they're spinning, you know, in space, and the heavier elements due to centrifugal force go to the outside. and create a crust, and they gather water, comets, meteors, everything else from space as well, and a crust forms. It takes, you know, probably billions of years for this to happen. And then finally, when they cool down enough, you know, they're ready for terraforming. And so that's how planets originate. I'm sorry, flat earthers, it doesn't add up. That's pretty much been disproven. But anyway, that's the way planets are formed. And I remember in a past life where when all my lives were returned to me, the memories, I remember flying by the Earth and saying, you know, that's going to be a beautiful planet someday as soon as the crust fully forms, because it had light shooting out of the crust. And then when I looked in some of the photographs where new planets were being formed, they had light because they were a hot gaseous ball. They're like a mini sun, and light was shooting out of the cracks and things like that. So that's basically how that works. But water and mineral kingdom and everything is just everything. Hydrogen is throughout the system. So it's everywhere. It's in space. It's everywhere. But anyway, so this is how things formed. And then so they came over to on the colony of Maldek or Melona. There were great wars. They were so bad, they actually blew the planet up, and now it's the asteroid belt. The Earth was on the other side of the sun. It didn't get the impact that Mars got. Mars lost its atmosphere, and it was quite a mess. So Mars was once, there was a major civilization on Mars. There was pyramids, temples, all kinds of structures. The face on Mars is one of those. There's still pyramids on Mars, and so they're kind of airbrushed out, you know, of what's going on. But anyway, to make a long story short, so the second colonization program came in, and those were the Pleiadians, and they were terraformers. And so they started terraforming the Earth, and they made an agreement with some reptilians that were already here. And they said, hey, we want to come in. We want to terraform this planet. We want to bring our plants and animals and other species, you know, and terraform this planet. You know, an agreement was struck. And so they said, okay, great. So they started working on it. And as soon as they decloaked their ships, they were fired upon. And a lot were stranded here until, you know, some other ships came to rescue them. And it wasn't fun, you know, hanging out down here. Some of you will have past life memories of that, of, you know, losing the ships and having to kind of fend for yourself on the planet for a while. And then what happened is the other ships came, and then they set up protection. And a lot of the fifth dimensional Pleiadians were involved in this too. And they were monitoring the whole process and, you know, making sure that things didn't go awry again. And so it continued, you know, major, major terraforming event happened here. And other star nations came as well. Once it got going, you know, you had Atlantis and Lemuria, other star nations joined in. And it was a thriving colony for quite some time. And then it started getting infiltrated by the Dark Hearts. And the Dark Hearts, when they came in, started incarnating in and influencing people on other subtle levels from the fourth dimension. And pretty soon there was a lot of discord, a lot of problems were happening, and some great wars started up. So you had the Pleiadians come in, and they found some remnants of the last group that was here. They saw the daughters of man, to be fair. They took them as wives, you know, and it went on and on. Because the thing about genetics is always evolving. It's not fixed. People think it's fixed. It's actually not. But, you know, the genetics is a code, and whoever wrote that code can't rewrite the code at any time. So there are higher forces involved that can change your genetics, which we'll get into later. But so this is the story. So they had these colonies set up. They had the Great Wars. The Atlanteans worshipped science. They shifted into power over others. They wanted to use their science to control and monitor everything and control everyone. And unfortunately, it didn't work out too well, because the land of Mu, the Lemurians, and the other groups said, hey, you know, you guys are blowing it. You've fallen from universal law. You've you know, your technology is getting away from you. It's evolving faster than your spirituality, and you need to chill out. Well, the problem is the Lemurians also were a very technologically advanced race as well. They had their ships, and they were spacefaring. And so in the olden days, it's like first strike. You know, they had terrible weapons, and whoever won the war was usually the first strike. And so there was a major meltdown. And so the Atlantean ships came in and just did a major meltdown on the Lemurian cities there. And you'll see great layers of glass and radioactive material and things like that buried, you know, especially in the east. You know, you'll see a lot of this glass just everywhere out in the out on the field, and nobody knows where it came from. And there's a whole layer of it in the Gobi Desert and places like that. So that's from these great wars. And so that's part of our ancient history. That's kind of what happened after these great wars. They kind of started going up again. So the Lemurians weren't too happy with their cities being melted down. So they decided to bring a nice little meteor in to smack Atlantis, in which they did. And that's why you call it the Atlantic Ocean, because it was such an impact. It just melted everything down and put quite a big dent, you know, in the earth. And so that was their response to the Atlanteans. And, you know, you'll find this in the geologic histories when if you know where to look. But anyway, so that's the meltdown there. And then the impact was so bad. And then they had another pole shift. And then it was startup. It was all startup again on the next phase. And we are the next phase. And so we're the remnants of Atlantis and Lemuria. A lot of our ancestors actually went underground, and they live under some of the major mountains and in underground facilities, and they're still there today. And there were races already existing there, the nature kingdoms, what mythologically people call gnomes and elves and fairies and beings like that, still exist on the interior in some of these places, as well as most of the animals that are mythologically known to be not real. Supposedly they are real. They found their bones. They know they existed. You know, centaurs, you know, things of that nature were real, and they've already found the bones, and they just keep trying to cover them up. Now, they found the perfect skeleton of half man, half horse, a centaur. And what they said was, well, what happened was a predator came and killed a man on its horse and ate half the man and then ate the head and the top part off the horse, and they just happened to fall together perfectly, you know. And so that was their explanation for that. They couldn't handle the obvious. But it goes on and on. Now, all these things are being uncovered now. The ancient ones are being uncovered in the Antarctic and things like that. So that's going to be coming out. It's already leaking out, and people are talking about it. But the history that I'm telling you and the artifacts are coming up, they're finding more and more artifacts, and they're finding pyramids beneath the pyramids. So there are ancient cultures even beneath a lot of the pyramids, especially down in Mexico. They're finding ancient cultures that were there, you know, before the pyramids, and you know, they're uncovering a lot of that, and they have all kinds of glyphs and alien pictures and things like that. They're pretty undeniable. You know, people riding in ships and the whole nine yards. So we've been a very advanced civilization for quite some time. So anyway, so now we have the next startup. And now we have a lot of the remnants from the last civilization, which were the different star nations, mainly Pleiadian, who have the most genetic stock here than any other race. And you have the people from the Orion system, and you have people from Sirius and a lot of different places out there that are totally inhabited. The whole multiverse is inhabited. It's not just Earth. But anyway, so a lot of these guys came here. And that's why you have a lot of different races. It's not a natural, you know, phenomenon that happened that created different races. It was because of genetic engineering as well as other races coming from the different star nations. And the reason you have so much diversity here, any scientist will tell you there is no possible way what the evolution on Earth could have been random mutation or just could have evolved naturally. The timeline is not there. The time involved to have this happen is not there. And most random mutations aren't beneficial. So that doesn't add up. That whole story doesn't add up, the one you're taught in school. Sorry, Darwin. You know, there's big holes in that theory. But anyway, so basically what we are, what's going on here on the planet right now, is that we are a big combination of beings from all different star nations, different races, different levels. So we also have we have humans and non-humans both that have been interacting with Earth as well, and they've been doing their genetic tinkering. And some of it was benevolent, some of it was to help us evolve and to add higher genetics to the human genome and get us bumped up so we stop warring on each other and killing each other and destroying our planet. And some were just the opposite. Some of the genetics were designed to continue, you know, with the warring and the chaos and the separation and division game. And so a lot of us have different mixes of those. But again, we can overcome those genetics because, again, the genetics are not fixed. And so by adhering to universal law, through prayer, meditation, sun cycles, everything else, our DNA is getting constantly altered, and we can always evolve, into a higher state of consciousness and awareness or higher genetics. It's not fixed. It never has been fixed. And I'll go further into that later. So basically, what's going on is that after the fall, you know, everybody went into base survival, basically. And, you've got no grid, you've got no power structure, there's no need for computers or phones or even travel, there's no fuel, nothing. You know, it's back, you know, thousands of years of that, you're back to basics. And that's what happened. And the people that survived learned how to live, you know, in a very base mode and had great survival skills. And those are the ones that made it through. So each time there were some people that there were places on the planet that fared a lot better than others. There were people that survived and made it through those changes. And so, you know, again, it was another startup. And if anybody knows anything about nature, you can, you know, if you go look at Mount St. Helens, that whole mountain blew a huge amount of ash and dirt and debris. The rivers were destroyed, everything, the timbers all, you know, totally destroyed. Everything, you go back just a few years later and it's all, you know, being rebuilt. It's all coming back together and, you know, everything's back. So nature in herself has incredible staying power and it's amazing what things can go through and then come back. Humans, not so great, you know, but I wonder, sometimes I wonder if we are as high in the chain as we think we are. But anyway. So anyway, they continued, you know, so what's happening again is now we're on the next buildup. And so we're building up again. And we're going through that same phase where, you know, we've gone from base survival to, technology to the, you know, the manufacturing industries and things like that. We're going up and up and up again. And rather than living in harmony with each other according to universal law, which is basically universal peace, brother, sister, love, individual freedom, and prosperity for everybody. It's living, you know, more as a community in cooperation for the highest and best good of all concerned. People strayed off of that. And a lot of it's due to some of the DNA patterns and things like that. Some of the patterns, like a lot of the reptilian patterns, lock you into survival and competition and hoarding and things like that. And some of the other patterns are more community organized. You know, they're all about more of the community and what's best for the whole. And so there's mixes in between of that. And so there's, you know, if you really look at this big genetic mix, we can choose which ones we want to accentuate, which ones we want to come from. And again, if we come from a higher place, a higher conscious energy, our genetics change. So during this change, what is going to go on is that when your DNA lines start to open up, the dormant ones that they call junk DNA, which actually are alien, they're not junk at all. They're just DNA that's been shut down. So when they start activating, and due to the massive cosmic rays coming in right now, all the DNA on this planet is going through huge changes due to the sun and the cycles that it's going through. And you can test this. You can go and look at any charts about the cosmic rays coming in, and they're off the scale right now, and they continue to grow exponentially. And the whole electromagnetic light spectrum is coming in much stronger. We're moving into a highly energized place in space. And this is another cycle that we're going through. And we're going to have a choice again. We're going to hit that cycle. We're going to hit the choice between universal law and draconian law. So I want to go into more history now to explain this and how draconian law came into being. So what happened in the ancient times, you know, with the Anunnaki, the ancient Lemurians, is when they colonized the earth, there were different lineages and different families, and they're kind of like a lot of competition over who got what territory, who reigned here, who was in charge there, you know, whose son was the real leader and things like that. A lot of that went down, a lot of fighting and in-house fighting and things. And you had, at one epoch, you had two beings mainly, and two brothers basically. One was Enki and one was Enlil. And so Enki was the creator god. He was the god of love and joy and peace, loved his creations, very wise, kept upgrading the creations and wanted them to excel, and which is the real scientific truth behind the Adam and Eve story. It's what really happened in the past, which is going to flip some people out. But if you do flip out, then you need to flip out. That's all right. Take a few minutes, take a deep breath, flip out, and don't change the channel. But anyway, so that's the true story. Adam was very tall. Adam was about, he was 16 feet tall. Some of these ancient Lyrians were 24 feet tall, some even taller than that. And they have their footprints. You know, over in Africa, they have footprints of the ancient ones. And when you do the math, you know, they are up to 30 feet tall, some of these footprints. So the beings who made those footprints, and they're still there. You know, they're in stone, they're in rock. Michael Tellinger has a lot of information on this. You can check out his work. But so these guys were, there's a lot of little in-house fighting going on between these guys. And one of the worst, the big fall, the real problem was Marduk. And Marduk was a warrior. You know, he wanted total supremacy of the earth. And he actually made a deal with the reptilians and for total supremacy on the earth. And so that was the fall of earth. That's when things really went bad after that. And he warred on his own people. It was a real mess. He finally was victorious. He was like the supreme ruler of the earth. Everything was good for Marduk until they killed him. And so, you know, you don't make deals with some of these people. It never works out right. You know, you might get some power and you might get some wealth, but in the end, you're expendable. And I wish some of these Luwa Donkey people would figure that one out, but there's a price to pay when you make those deals and those arrangements. So anyway, they made those arrangements, and so that didn't go too well. So that was the beginning of the draconian world, draconian law, and they've been upholding that law ever since. And there's been a lot of genetic manipulation since then. And you've got, you know, Lyrian-human hybrids. You've got reptilian-human hybrids. You've got all these bloodlines and problems and everything else. And with people who believe they're superior, that they're the chosen ones, and everybody else is supposed to serve them. And that lineage or those bloodlines have carried down, you know, under draconian law for quite some time. And so that's what we're dealing with right now. So right now, we're at this epoch in time where we have a choice. We can say, hey, guess what? You know, I'm going to align with my higher nature. I'm going to align myself with universal law. And I'm going to start practicing, you know, universal peace. I'm going to focus on brother-sister love and work towards individual freedom and prosperity for everybody. You know, everybody's equal and we're all going to work together. Or you can take the other route where you separate yourself from others and you believe that wealth is security and wealth is power and you can control others with your wealth and you'll have power over others and that whole program, which is really a dead end. It's a huge dead end because ultimately what you're really seeking is love, you know, acceptance and approval. And when you're coming from that position where you take from others and you manipulate others with your power and wealth and things like that, you find out there's no love in your life. There's just people that want what you have and will do whatever's necessary to get it. And they're not really your friend. They don't love you. They only love what you can do for them. And so if you are seeking love and acceptance and approval, they're not going to accept you. They're going to hate you because of your power and your wealth. And so it's a dead end. Everything you're going for is not going to work because you're going about it in all the wrong way. So the people that are really respected on this planet are the people that were totally service-oriented. They made their own personal connection with Creator, Great Spirit, whatever you want to call it. And they were totally service-oriented. They served others. They helped others. They helped those less fortunate to rise up. That's their history. That's what they did. Those are the ones that are remembered. Some of the other ones you might remember just because of all the pillaging they did and things like that, but I don't know if I'd want to be remembered by that. And I don't think you're in good graces with higher dimensions when that's what you choose to do. So basically what happens is when you do things outside of universal law and do things that are harmful to humanity and the earth, that actually in your next incarnation, your next understanding takes you into a lower realm with less love, less joy, less power. And even in the astral level, when you go into the astral level after you die, you're going to go to a level with others who are very controlling, very manipulating, and are of the same nature because your consciousness determines where you go in your next understanding. So any way you look at this, it's a dead end. It's going to take you down a downward spiral that's going to totally collapse, and there's no future in it. And that's unfortunate. You're not taught that. You know, people are not, kids aren't taught that. You know, these other people that are raised in some of these families aren't taught that. You know, they're taught something entirely different. And I can go more into that. So when you go into the dark side of things, you know, you have these other influences attached to people. You have the beings that crossed over that didn't go anywhere and they're stuck. You've got some malevolent reptilians and tall grays and some of these other guys that are pretty nasty. And they you know, they can't create. They just take. They can't generate their own light. They just feed off of others' energy. And so that's where you're trapped. That's where you're going to be stuck. And you're going to be feeding off them, and they're going to be feeding off you, and you're not going anywhere. And you probably won't be remembered, loved, or accepted, or approved of. No matter what you do, it's just going to be a downward spiral. But unfortunately, as I said before, these things are not taught. If we knew the real history of Earth, we would avoid walking down that same path, the path that we've done, you know, many times. And if people knew the true nature of God, you know, they would not be separating and dividing into all these programs, you know, religions and things like that. So the next thing I'm going to tell you is this is going to be a real eye opener, and it'll be most blasphemous, and I'll be the heretic of the day. But all of your gods, all of your bearded gods throughout all of your religions, all of them, the bearded gods were the ancient Anunnaki. They were the Lyrians, the Lyrians, the ones with the cone heads, you know, and their offspring. And the demigods, you know, those were the same group. And so you've got the ancient Egyptian gods, the Greek gods, the Norse gods, you know, all of those guys. They all came. The bearded gods came from ancient Lyra. They're very powerful beings, very wise, very technologically advanced. And they were revered as gods. And many doctrines, religious books and texts and things like that were written according to how these beings interacted with humanity. So some of them were all loving, very loving. They loved their creations. They wanted to see them flourish. They wanted to upgrade everything. They wanted everything to evolve to its highest potential here. Others were jealous and wrathful and genocidal maniacs. They wanted the experiment to end. They had no respect for the lower life forms and found most of us to be very noisy and useless, you know, a problem, basically. So you had states of mind in between. So even in the ancient Bible, when you read the Bible, the Old Testament talks all about a jealous, wrathful God that basically was a genocidal maniac. He killed millions and millions of people. And then you have the New Testament and you have the New Covenant brought by Jesus that says God is all loving and all forgiving. And he's fulfilling a prophecy that shall come a great one that'll bruise the head of the one who bruised the head of man, which was Jehovah, the Old Testament God. And a lot of people, Jehovah's Witnesses, are going to get really upset with this, but you know, if you want to still have your God, just be a Yahweh witness. He was the God of love and peace. He was more of a fun guy to hang around with. So you just have to know your history. It's not saying that everything was wrong. You know, everything could have happened exactly the way they wrote it, but we're just giving you a better understanding of what it is. So whenever you have a guy with a beard and robes and powers, you know, and abilities beyond most men, you know, this is what you're talking about. You know, this is what happened. And so the big, you know, $99 question you need to ask is who created them? You know, where did they come from? The second question you want to ask is, did they have a mother? And why is their mother not in history? In the ancient Sumerian tablets, she is in there. And in the most ancient images, the images of God were female. She was the birther of all life. And the ancient Aramaic prayer that Jesus repeated started off, O cosmic birther. It doesn't start out, Our Father who art in heaven. If you read the Aramaic translation of that, which was the original, you know, word in which it was written, it says, O cosmic birther. And then it follows along the same plan, you know, as the other one this morning entitled. But it's genderless. It's a whole different story. And it doesn't have a body. It doesn't have a beard. It's not male. It's not female. It's beyond all that. So it's the birther of all life, the creator, you know, within all creation. It's the oneness. And the best way to explain what the nature of God is the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse. So where did every great master say God is? You know, the temple is within, go within. So why do they say go within? The temple is within because your soul sits right next to the heart. And they say it's through the heart by going within, expanding in consciousness. When you expand in consciousness and awareness, you become one with the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse. You get in touch with your multidimensional self. So you're not a body, you're not a personality. What you are is you have a body and you have a personality, but you're a soul, and that soul is eternal, and there are bodies beyond that. So some people call them, you know, your etheric body, your blue body. You know, some people call it your astral body. Some people call it your Christ body, you know, your Buddha consciousness or whatever. You know, there's all different names for this. Everybody has a name for it. Hindus have their names for these different beings. And again, if you read the Hindu scriptures, the ancient scriptures, the Vedas and things like that, you'll hear about these bearded gods and their great wars and their flying ships and their atomic weapons and everything else. It's all recorded there. So if you track back every ancient culture their ancient history and look at it, they're going to have all that. Now, I'm going to take you back even further, and the people that, well, I need proof that this is real, that what you're saying is real. If you go to Australia, there's a place called Gosford Glyphs. And Gosford Glyphs, the whole history of Earth is written down. And it talks about the first colonies, the first ships that came here, how they found a man that was already living here. They upgraded it with their DNA. And the whole story is right there. It's written in stone. And it's very, very ancient. They talk about the Pleiadians, and there's these ancient glyphs and Pleiadian glyphs, and then you have Egyptian glyphs, and it's the whole history of Earth is written on these stones. Very, very ancient stones. And so when you read these stones, you go, wait a second, you know, somebody hasn't been telling us the real history of Earth, the big picture. You know, no, they haven't been telling us the truth. And the fact of the matter is that the ancient, most recorded, the most ancient history, you might say, of man came from Australia. So what we're going to, so on these glyphs, it talks about that. It talks about the first attempt, the second attempt. It talks about two brothers who came, Egyptian pharaohs, they came to reconnect and get the ancient teachings. They fell, they lost the ancient teachings. The elders there in Australia said, you can look at these tablets, these rocks and things like that, but you can't take them with you. They said, they have to stay here. Well, they tried to take them anyway. And, you know, as in their own arrogance, one got bitten by a snake and died, and the other one, his ship was wrecked, and that was into that story. Now, I know the coast on where those where those glyphs are, and that coast is can be kind of treacherous there, you know, so I can see how they can lose a ship very easily. And you can lose a body very easily there just by going and swimming in some of those beaches. But that history, it's all written in stone there, and this was pre-Africa. So this happened before Africa, and then they went from there to Africa. So if you get the breastplates of the pharaohs, the golden breastplates, you'll find out that they came from Australia. Matter of fact, it came from Ballarat, Australia. So a lot of the gold that the Egyptians carried over there to Africa actually came from Australia, and that was the first colonies that are recorded. And they go way back, you know, way back. And that's, if you really want to do the research, that's the stuff that should be coming out. The Strongs have a really good website about that. You can type in Gosford Glyphs and look for the Strong family, and they have a lot of history. And I met them over there, got to hold some of the stones and the bones of the pharaohs and a few other things. So those things are real. They do exist, and the story is real. They tried to destroy this site several times. They were going to use it as a bombing range. And they were stopped. They've tried several times to totally destroy those because they go against the ancient history. There's actually Stonehenges over there that way predate, you know, the ones in England. They're much, much older. And they've scattered those and gotten rid of those because they go up against the, you know, the religious story or the, you know, that whole program. But there's been a long, long attempt by certain groups tied into certain religions and certain people in very high places to destroy this narrative, to destroy any evidence other than the religious or the Darwin program, you know. And the scientism program isn't working, and the religious story isn't correct. It is one story. It's about one part in history, but history goes back a lot further. So when you understand this and you reread a lot of these scriptures, you go, wait a second, now I understand this. You know, this doesn't make sense, because one minute God is all loving and all forgiving, the next minute he's a jealous, wrathful tyrant, a genocidal maniac. You know, this guy's either total schizophrenic or it's, you know, bipolar, or something else is going on here. You know, something else is happening here. These are two different beings. And our whole history book books are replete with these stories. So you had the gods, the bearded gods. You had the demigods, which were hybrids, where a lot of the gods found man to be fair and took them as wives. And they were the ancient Lyrians and some of the Pleiadians. And so you have this big mix down here, and you have other mixes of other star nations as well. So the diversity of human, plant, animal, even minerals, everything, the diversity is like no other place here. It's amazing. It really does need to be preserved and taken care of. This is a biological zoo, unsurpassed. And it's meant to be the jewel, you know, of this galaxy here. But anyway, there are certain groups that want to see this whole experiment come to a close, and they hate creation, all creation. They want to see it come to an end, and they are not connected to the Creator, and they have a different agenda. So in order to understand this, you have to realize there's so much non-human events happening here and things happening here because there's an extreme non-human element. And there are certain groups that care nothing for humanity. They care nothing for nature. They're actually at war with creation. And they've infiltrated a lot of the highest positions on the planet. So there's your story right there. You want to understand the big picture, you have to put the non-human element in there, or you'll never understand this. Because when you look and you see people just decimating, you know, forests, you see them poisoning the air, the water, the oceans, you see them massive chemtrails up there with toxic chemicals in them. You see all these things happening. You see people starving, you know, people dying of diseases that are easily conquered, you know, and the cures are already out. You know, you see children suffering in hospitals with cancer when the cure has been around for quite some time. Now, you know, Otto Warburg gave us a cure for cancer, I think, in 1927. And he said, all we have to do is raise the body pH, the blood pH, the blood oxygen, and cancer can't survive. So everything we're eating now is toxic. Everything is acidic, you know. All these processed foods are acidic. And so we wonder why people aren't healing, you know, why they aren't being taken care of. There are technologies down here right now that will totally balance out the pH. They'll increase the blood oxygen, and healings can come about when you do that. And they have herbal formulas that will target any kind of cancer cells. There's all kinds of things out there, all kinds of venues you can go to. But they're not within the mainstream or allopathic medicine. So why are they not in there? Because it's all about power and wealth. So even though it's the disease and war profiteers that are in very high places, they don't care. They don't care if these children are suffering. They don't care if the planet's being destroyed. They don't care if the waters are being poisoned, you know, or the air. To them, some of them are just purely focused on power and wealth and greed, which is insatiable. And some are actually taken over by these other beings. And a lot of them actually have a wedge put between them, between their soul and the source, and they're just taken over. And these other entities have popped right into them. And they're no longer human, and that's why you see all the non-human events happening on the planet. So what we're talking about now is that extreme non-human interference, a hijacking of Earth and her destiny, which was to be this cosmic jewel. You know, this is supposed to be a place where you know, all life could evolve to its highest potential, human life, plant life, animal life, everything. That was the original design, which got hijacked by these lesser forms and these lower consciousnesses that came in, you know, and started incarnating and taking over people and things like that. So anyway, a lot of people are going to say, this is a crazy story. You know, this is nuts, you know, what you're saying. But a lot of you in your soul are going to feel this is right. And so to those people, I want to tell you the reason you know this is right is because a lot of you lived it and you're a part of this story. And a lot of you now have incarnated, and you've incarnated to rise the earth out of this quagmire, this mess. And you came from very advanced civilizations. Some of you came from the Pleiades. You know, some of you came in as sixth and seventh dimensional Pleiadians, incredible wise masters and teachers and healers. And you brought that consciousness, that energy, that wisdom to the whole collective here to help the earth. You know, some of you came from the Sirius system. You know, you're humanoid cat beings. You might have been a panther being. You might have been a 17-foot-tall lion being in a past life. And you incarnated, too, to give people the courage to help them find the inner lion, the lion within them. You know, some of you incarnated from the Orion system. You went through the wars of Orion, and you were successful in finally rooting out these beings that were destroying your civilizations, your colonies, and everything else. And now you're coming to Earth, and some of you have incarnated in Earth, and the Earth is being surrounded by a lot of these beings that I'm talking about that are here to help in planetary liberation, the awakening healing of humanity, the Earth, and get Earth reset on the original program, you know, the original cause or whatever you want to call it. So there's beings coming in from Arcturus, they're coming in from the Andromedas, there's Andromedans coming in, and they're called the ground crew. So all these people, everybody's waiting for this alien invasion, and they want to see an alien. If you want to see an alien, walk in the bathroom, turn on the light, look in the mirror. You know, we've been colonized. The Earth has been colonized many times. And we all have genetics that are attached to the stars. So that's one thing. Also, too, the ground crews that are here on the Earth right now are here to work with their counterparts in the other dimensions and the highly advanced civilizations that are coming to help. So you've got all these different dimensional beings coming in, and I just mentioned a few, and they're coming in to help, to assist in the awakening healing process, to help liberate the planet, and they have their counterparts here on Earth. So I want to go into the counterparts now. The ground crew are some of these counterparts that are here. A lot of them know who they are. They haven't figured it all out, but they know they came here to make a change. They know they don't fit in with this civilization. They can see the dysfunction, and they really want to bring change. Like a lot of the Pleiadians that incarnated here, a lot of them just, they don't have any concept of people lying or stealing or harming them. It's not part of the reality. And when it happens, it just really throws them for a loop, you know? The Orion Council of Light people and these guys that are coming here from the system, they know what evil is. They know the dark forces, and they're not so easy manipulated. They're not gullible. They can sense, you know, evil intent, and something we need to all do. Some of the other beings that have come in, you know, a lot of the feline beings, they're protectors. And if you want to look in the past, look at the ancient history Sekhmet. She was a protector of the gods until they fell and started operating outside of universal law. And then they left, you know, Narisha, protector of the Hindu gods, Lakshmi, and all the gods are sitting on Narisha's lap. And he's, you know, doing the sword hand mudra, saying, hey, you know, these are under my protection. Don't mess with these beings. And, you know, he's 17 feet tall. They're very tall beings. And there's all these historical stories about the lion beings actually clashing with the serpent beings or reptilian beings and things like that. All throughout history, they talk about Satan and reptilian beings. It's all tied together, these clashes. They have ancient pictures that shows Mary with her foot on a serpent, you know, shows Michael slaying a serpent or slaying a reptilian being. You know, these are real enactments of some things that happened in the ancient past. So anyway, there's more to this story. You know, we got the fairy tale version. We got the cliff notes, you might say. You know, we didn't get the whole edition. And so this is just filling in a lot more of the story so you can understand what's happening in the big picture. So what I want to talk about now is that So we have this major, major program coming up. And we've got the ground crew that are attached to all these higher dimensions. We have their counterparts in this dimension and other dimensions as well that are inside our atmosphere. They're here for the awakening healing process. And a lot of the people that really want to focus on universal law and bring humanity back and out of the grips of the draconian law. So what we're seeing here is the white hats who are waking up and aligning themselves with the higher consciousness and energy, these multidimensional beings that are coming in to assist. And we're talking about, you know, the Pleiadians, the Orion Council of Light, the Arcturians, Sirians, Andromedans, and quite a few others. And you've got the dark heads that are aligning themselves with these other influences, a lot of reptilian, demonic, lower astral beings, things like that. And so that's what you're seeing today. That's what's unfolding. And we just need to be sure and get on the right side of the fence. And so we're also seeing a lot of wounded egos out there that are flailing with these energies as they're coming in. And so it's going to be a little chaotic. But in the bottom line is we have to align ourselves with universal law. Again, which is, you know, universal peace, brother, sister, love, individual freedom and prosperity for everybody. We have to get into serving others, get out of the self-service mode, and working in the highest and best good of humanity, Earth. You know, that's the bottom line if we're going to stay here. We have to become frequency specific to this process. And by doing that, we align ourselves with the higher consciousness and energy and behave accordingly. So the other beings are not going to fare well when these energies come in. They're coming in now, and that's the great implosion, and that's what you're seeing right now. So you're seeing the dark hearts implode on themselves. You're seeing the white hats come forward. You're seeing people waking up, and basically that's what's unfolding. So anyway, we're out of time. There's a lot more to this story. James Gillen with Azure Wisdom Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening and sit with us for a while. Just feel it. See if it's true for you. Have a good evening.